I count it a great honor and a blessing to be back with you again tonight. And be honest with you, I wish we would have just kept singing songs. I'll be honest with you, I don't want this week to end. I've really enjoyed this week. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I ain't just telling you that because we're here and we're helping. I'm being honest with you. I've really enjoyed this week, and I tried to help y'all out and get one of them to come on and preach again, but we've had a thought since Wednesday, and we was looking forward to getting it off of us, I guess you would say, and y'all got to singing and different things, and I guess the Lord showed me that was stale bread, and I can't preach on that tonight. He gave me a different thought, and I got to go a different direction now, and we're just going to do our best. I don't know what we're going to preach on. I really don't, but I do feel good, and I do appreciate it, and there were some things said down in the prayer room that got our heart stirred up, and one of them was talking there about that he prayed just that we'd have liberty to preach. May not mean a lot to y'all. Sure does mean a lot to me. And I'll be honest with you, I've heard older preachers say that if y'all help us push the wagon up, we'll ride it back down with you. And I feel like that's what y'all have done all week. Y'all made plenty of liberty, I can promise you that, by just following the Spirit. I appreciate it. The testimonies, the singing, I just really appreciate it. I do. I'm being honest from the depths of my heart. I really am. I've enjoyed myself this week. If y'all ain't got revived, I think we've enjoyed ourselves. I appreciate the love y'all shown my wife and my kids, and they may get loud sometimes and get rowdy or whatever it is, but I appreciate the love y'all shown our family and just all that y'all have done. It's a blessing. It is. It really is. I want y'all to know this, because a lot of times people don't get out and visit. People don't go to other churches and they don't see what all they've got. And I want to tell you this, coming from a church that I think we've got something pretty special down there. Y'all have got something special up here. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I may even charge you, if that's all right, Randy. I'm going to tell you this. Don't take what y'all have got for granted. I'm being honest with you. Don't take what y'all have got for granted, because there's plenty of churches around here that would love to have the love and obedience and, most of all, following the Spirit that what y'all have done this week. I want you to be proud of yourselves, but I want you to not take it for granted. And if you grew up in this church your whole life, you can love that, but don't take it for granted, because the ones that's come in here in the last 5 or 10 years, they probably appreciate what Brother Mike said. They might have come in when things felt down and things felt out. You got to keep on walking. I think that's what the brother was talking about. He had a bad week this week. That's the song kept coming in my mind. You better just keep on walking. Just keep on walking. I believe that's what that scripture there, I'm going to take my time. It's going to take me a minute to get there tonight. But that's what that scripture said. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, didn't say so I dwell there, didn't say so I live there, didn't say so I die there in the valley of the shadow of death. It said, though I walk. That's an important, important word in that whole sentence. Because sitting down ain't an option when it comes to serving the Lord. When you sit down on the Lord, I promise you nothing good's going to happen. You got to keep on walking. But I appreciate it. I do, church. I appreciate everything you've done. I appreciate the prayers. I appreciate the physical things, the goods, the baked goods, and all the different things. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what I appreciate even more? The things that were unseen. Yeah, the prayers leading up to this. Yeah, Brother Jeff told that story, talking about that man that was right there behind him. You know who was right behind them? That was me and my wife and my family. I thought he did know the man. He stood there, talked to him the whole time. I was right behind him. You know what Brother Jeff did that nobody else will know about, him and his wife? They paid for my food when I got up there. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law. Am I lifting Jeff up? I'm not. I just want to tell you how much I love you and appreciate you. Yeah, the things that not everybody sees is the things that's most important. Yeah, it is. Yeah, we sat down there and went in the prayer room, and I've enjoyed every night being down there. I've got a blessing out of going down there. I appreciate them men that was down there praying. I really do. I got a blessing out of tonight on things that were not said. Praise God. Yeah. I ain't lifting you up. I saw you get up and there was tears on the chair. You had to wipe them off. I saw you, Cody. I appreciate that. You know what? Nobody else probably saw that, but him and the Lord was having some time together. It's the things that aren't seen that's most important. See, we take the, this ain't even what I'm going to preach on, but I'm going to have to get this off of me. You know what I just appreciate? The times that we get when things do get stale. Things do seem like we get in that vain repetition, and Sister So-and-so sings a song and Brother Baptist is going to get up and sing his song, and we're just going to go throughout the service and we're going to go all eat at the village after that, and we're just going to go on about our day, and maybe we'll stumble in at 6 o'clock, you know, if we don't have anything else to do. Or what most Baptists say is, Lord willing. I'm going to let you in on something about Lord willing. If you think the Lord's will ain't for you to make it here on Sunday night or to be here every night of revival, then you got it messed up. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what we use Lord willing for. We use Lord willing for if we got time or if nothing else comes up, that's when I'll be there. But I'm going to tell you something. When things grow stale, I appreciate getting back into God's grace. We could talk about it all the time, about us coming and being saved. That's absolutely wonderful. But I think if each and every one of us was honest, at some point in our life, we got real close to God, and then we got real far away from God. But coming back to God's even more sweeter. I thought about that scripture there, and I don't know why I did. I don't even think this is what we're going to preach on, but I don't know. I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to say. But I thought about Jacob there, and Jacob there in the scripture made a vow unto God. He told him, he said, if you'd give me meat, you'd give me drink, and you'd give me everything I need to sustain me to get back to my father's house, then you would be my God. That's a wonderful vow. God, you provide for me and I'll serve you with everything I got. But about 2 chapters passes by and Jacob finds himself breaking that vow against God. Finds himself out and about and away from God. You know what I appreciate about that scripture? You know where Jacob had to go? He had to go back to Bethel. Yeah, God told him. He said, go on up there to Bethel and build an altar. You know what I appreciate about Jacob? He didn't come stumbling into the church house with all the things that he had brought with him that he knew was wrong. You know what they did before they went up there and they built that altar? They said, give me all the false gods. Give me all the earrings you got on. Give me all the jewelry. Give me all the things that you think is all about you. Give them to me. We're going to go bury them under a tree and then we're going to go build that altar. You're going to have to get some things out of the way if you're going to get back to God. Maybe you got some earrings on and some false gods in your pocket. What you talking about, preacher? I don't believe in Buddha. I don't believe in Allah. I don't believe in any of this other religions and stuff. How could I have another God? I'm going to tell you something. I put Landon Hamby between me and God several times. Yeah, I'm a lowercase g God is what I am. You can look at them 10 commandments. They had no other gods before me. That's a lowercase g God. I put myself before God. I put my work before God. I put many things between me and God today. I told y'all that story the other night about that rock altar that I had to go back and clear some things out. I'm going to tell you something. I had to get back to Bethel, praise God. I had to get back in communion with Him. That's why we sit here and break that bread up and take that juice and wash feet on that night. Yeah, that thing's called communion. Do you know why? Communion means to get into fellowship with Him. Amen. We take them 2 nights out of the year just for us to set some things aside and set our mind on God, just be thankful for what all He's done for us. Shame on us if we only do it twice a year. It's time we get back to Bethel, folks. But you know what I appreciate? I was thinking about, I don't know why I'm thinking about Jacob. I don't think about Jacob very often. But Clint was talking about last night about going back to the things that were familiar. I started thinking about Jacob. And I thought about how after Abraham, he had to be a leader. He had to go do some things on his own. People was following him, Brother Randy. So as they started walking through the wilderness there and trying to figure out which way to go and trying to figure what they needed to do, Jacob fell back on the same thing that these kids did. That Copper, you know what? Copper might have got up there and sang every time, "All my hopes in Whitney," or "All my hopes in Susan," or "All my hopes in them." But tonight, she got to sit on that piano pew because she said, "All my hopes in Jesus." And I'm going to tell you something tonight. It might start off with them watching you, Brother Bruce. Brother Crafton told me a story the other night, and I ain't going to tell his story. But he got to have some experiences with his grandkids in the pool that he can't wait for them to come through. And I thought about that these last couple days, Brother Crafton, because they saw Papa do those things and they seen Papa be a great man of God. They're going to know what to do when the time comes, Brother Chris. Yeah, Abram learned from you, Chris. Yeah, Brock, you watch Tracy. I know you do. We watch and we observe. We watch and we observe. Well, I'm going to tell you what happened. Jacob got in a bad spot. People's following him. People's counting on him. What's he going to do? He fell back to the same thing that his father did. Yeah. Oh, we need eat. We need drink. These people got to survive. What are we going to do? They get out there, and y'all know the story there. I ain't preaching nothing new. But Jacob gets out there and finds them wells. And you know what happened? They left them wells desolate. Yeah, they left them wells unattended. Vacant, I guess you could say. They left them with nobody there to keep partaking in it. Yeah, because Abraham had went on. Everybody else did. But Jacob went back over there. And the Philistines might have kicked it in and thrown the trash down in there and got it all down in there. But Jacob had some familiar spots he went to, Clint. Yeah, he went back out there. They dug them wells back out. They got them wells prepared. Them people started drinking out of the water, gaining some strength. And just like we saw here tonight, I don't know where you was at Mountain View this week. I don't know where you was at coming in. But I'm going to tell you the report that I've seen on most of our churches. They've been kicking the can down the road, sad and upset. And we ain't got the numbers like we used to. We don't have revivals like we used to. These young preachers don't preach like these older ones do. I never seen a more sad group of somebody that's already won victory. Yeah. You know the first question anybody asks whenever they find out Mountain View's in revival or Hope Wells in revival or New Hope's in revival? Well, who's helping? Well, who's helping, Brother Randy? I ain't real crazy about him. I don't think I'm going to go to that one. I'm going to tell you something today. We ought to have some things in our heart to help each other. It ain't about who's preaching. It ain't about who the pastor is. It don't matter what kind of songs they sing. We ought to just be in one mind and one accord, unified under the blood of Christ today. Yeah, we need each other. We need each other. Mountain View, I need you while I'm down there at Stoners. I need to know that there's another church out there going after the same things we're going after. And I know there's many around this land. I ain't talking about just Mountain View. But we need not to get our eyes off the ball. We better keep our eyes on the prize. I had a man tell me today, I took him to a lunch interview today, and we sat down. And he said, the only reason why I'm serving God is for that eternal life. And I said, well, if you're saved, you already got that. Now what? We've taken our eye off the ball, churches. Yeah, we care more about how loud the preacher gets, if he takes a pause in between, if he carries a handkerchief, or how much he sweats, or if he preaches for an hour, if he preaches for 10 minutes. We care more about all that the preacher's doing than we do what God's doing in our lives. Time we get back to Bethel, church. Yeah, it's time we start cleaning some wells out like Jacob did. But Mountain View, I don't know where y'all was at when we started this week. I don't know where you was at. Y'all might have been dry and desolate. Y'all might have been shouting on Sunday morning. I try to watch your services, but I didn't watch it Sunday morning. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Jacob dug them old wells out, and that's what we had to do this week, ain't it? Yeah, they dug some old wells out, but I'm going to tell you what else Jacob had to do. There had to be some new wells come. Yeah, Wilder. Yeah, Copper. Yeah, yours too, son. You got you a well this week. You know what he called it? He said a well of springing up freely, thank God. We got some new wells in here, Mountain View. Yeah, there's going to be times in their life they get up, 10, 12, 13 years old, get up here, sing a song, Brother Steve, that you needed. Yeah. Y'all have led them in the right way. Y'all showed them where to go. I appreciate hearing her say, well, usually they come over here and that's where we go. I feel like we got some wells cleaned out. If y'all didn't need y'all's, I sure got mine cleaned out. Tracy preached a message about a water drain getting clogged up and cleaning it out so the water can get down in there. That's what we all ought to be doing. Yeah, we all ought to put a little Drano down in our pipe sometimes, get them cleaned out, and get a good streamline to God. I don't know. This ain't what I was going to preach. I thought... Last night, I don't know, I felt free and felt like it wasn't me, but Abram kept saying things that I was thinking. He got to praying there. He was praying there at the end. I'm going to be honest with you. If you ever just, I know some people get down and they pray real loud. You ever just got real quiet and listened to everybody else pray? It's one of my favorite things to do. Half the time I get up there, I don't even pray. I end up listening to everybody else. They're getting a hold of something familiar, Brother Randy. Yeah. Lord showed me that one time when I was pastoring at Dry Creek, and I called him Marvelous Marvin. Every time I'd say, hey, Marvin, how are you? He'd say, well, I'm marvelous. He sat over there on the side, and I remember one day I got down to pray, and I was struggling and just felt like everybody was going through the motions, and I didn't know how I was going to get up and preach, and I was feeling sorry for myself, and oh, poor old pastor going to have to get up and preach, and it don't feel as great as it always does in here. Poor old me. And I got down to pray, and I was going to pray for myself. I was going to pray that God would help me out. I was going to pray that God would help, just give me the Spirit and help me make the crossing. But instead, he said, shut your mouth and listen to the church. I started listening. You know who they was praying for, Chris? They was praying for me. They was praying that I could get there. I heard Marvin over there in the corner, and he said, God, I pray this morning you give Brother Landon more liberty than he's ever had before. When we get to feeling sorry for ourselves, there's usually somebody praying for us. Thank God. Yeah. It feels good to get back to Bethel. I don't know if y'all enjoy Bethel, but I enjoy getting back there. Sometimes you get out in this world and it gets hard and you get flat tires and things go wrong in your life and you don't know how you're going to do it. And you get tired and you get weak and you get weary. And if you turn on the news, you'll sure get sad. People care more about who the president's going to be in November than they've ever cared about where their kids are going to end up for eternity. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm about sick of hearing about Biden and Trump more than I'm sick about hearing anything else today. If y'all think Donald Trump or Joe Biden's going to fix this thing, you are mistaken. It starts with you and I living a life that's truthful unto God. Let me tell you something. There's governments and laws and taxes and free money and all these things that they can give out every day and twice on Sunday. But if we ain't living up to the expectations of them 66 books... why would we put our hope and trust in a politician? It's time we clean some wells out, church. I believe we got there this week. You know what I thought about? I've been thinking about these kids. I thought about that book of Ruth, and that's what Abram was praying about. He got there at the very end, was talking about Ruth and dropping some barley down behind and grabbing some handfuls of purpose. And I thought, boy, I don't know, maybe Abram will have to preach tonight. Then my title of my message I was wanting to preach was, Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. Yeah, I was wanting to preach out of Psalms 107. Then I got to thinking about Ruth. Then Abram said, Balaam, will you stay up there and sing, I am redeemed. And I thought, Lord, why are you lining all this up, not giving me the microphone? Well, I think it was real evident why we didn't. Brother Clint brought the message and he had it. Maybe that message was for me. So I'm just trying to say so tonight. I love that song, I Am Redeemed. It's one of my favorites. I feel bad asking Bailey to sing songs. I do, but she sings some of my favorite ones. But I love that song. I am redeemed. I'm bought with a price. Jesus, He saved my whole life. You know what my favorite one is? He said, and if anybody asks you just who I am, just tell them. You know what he didn't say? Just tell them my name's Landon Hamby. Brother Reverend Landon Hamby. That's not what he said. Just tell them I am redeemed. I'm going to tell you something. I'll never in my life become CEO of a company. I'll never have a doctorate degree. I'll never have a master's degree. I'll never be an engineer. I'll never have any of those great accolades next to my name. But I'm going to tell you something today. You better have child of the king right there written by your name. I may not ever achieve worldly fame, as that song says, but I'm going to tell you something. I am redeemed. Bought with a price. That's what we tried to preach to you Monday night. About being bought and purchased. Everybody talks about, boy, this free gift. I'm going to tell you something. It cost somebody something. Lord, I appreciate this week. I appreciate these new wells. Next 10 or 15 years, I may need copper. Yeah, copper may get up there and sing a song. Lord laid something on my heart. I need to sing this. Mike, we're going to have to wait a minute before we cut Randy loose. I got to say something. I may be drinking out of her well at some point. I was joking with Abram today, and me and him and Clint was texting. And we was talking about how much we loved each other and how happy we've been this week and how much we've enjoyed it and how we don't want it to end and how much we love the church and all y'all have done for us this week. And I was joking with Abram. I wasn't being serious. He said, you come on tonight and I'll drink out of your saucer. And I was joking with him and I said, saucers are for the weak. Pull up to the spout where the glory comes out. And I was joking with him, but what I really meant to say and what I mean by that is, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I took a sip out of your saucer downstairs. When I saw them tears right there, when you bought my meal, I appreciate the church strengthening each other. But I thought about Ruth, I did. And I thought about her story about being a Moabite. And I'll be honest with you, you can see Christ all through that whole book. You can see the lost, you can see the saved, you can see the backslid, you can see the church, you can see God. You can see it all in the book of Ruth. If you ain't never really studied it, you ought to go look at it. But that chapter number 3 is one of the best parts. I'm going to tell you why. That first one, they talk about how she's a Moabite, and we know that she had a husband. We know that Orpah was her sister, and she had a husband. We know that her mother was Naomi, had a husband. And just like us in this life, not everything goes out to plan. She loses absolutely everything. They don't know which way to go. Naomi tells them, listen, I can't live out here like this. I'm going home. I got to just go home. I got to get back to where I'm supposed to be. Tells Orpah, Naomi, well, y'all just make up your mind and go the way you feel like you need to. Orpah says, well, I'm going the other way. But I remember when I got lost, I was just like Ruth. And I said, where else am I going to go? I don't know. I don't have anything else. I've lived that life. I've been out there. I've lost everything. I guess I'm going to go and try this. And I remember going just like Ruth did. Worried and scared and what everybody else was going to think. Being a Moabite. Coming back, living with Naomi. But you know what I see in Naomi? The mother church. That's what she was. If you look at that in chapter number 3, it's the most beautiful picture of what the mother church did this week. And how they pushed them along and got them. You know the story of Ruth. But Naomi tells her, she said, you're going to have to go out or we're going to die. You're going to have to go out and get it for yourself, though. I ain't able to do it for you. The mother church can't do it for you. They can do the best they can, be in the spot they can, pray for you. They can sing all the songs. They can testify as much as they can and follow the Spirit of the Lord. But they can't save you. Well, that mother Naomi, she just pushed her out there. She knew what she needed to do. She knew where she needed to go. She had some familiar fields that she knew of. She goes out there and Abram talked to you. He done told you. I done told you what he prayed. We know the story. She went out there. But I'm going to tell you something. Ruth couldn't be up there with all the ones that was gathering everything. You want me to tell you why? Because when you're lost, you're separated. You're separated away from the pack. And if you got saved this week or you've ever been saved in your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when you get lost and you get in the church house and the church gets to moving like it did this whole week, it's self-evident that you feel like every eye in the whole place is on you. She was in the back just gathering scraps. But that mother church and that pack that was out in front of her, she just kept following them. Just keep following them. Just keep picking it up, going in the right direction. I wasn't discouraged when Copper come up here and didn't get it. She was going in the right direction. Yeah, she needed to pray and went out the back door. We'd have something to pray about. But she was coming up here trying. Ruth was doing her best, gathering what she could. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you get lost, the more you gather, the more you figure out. I'm going to tell you something. When I got lost and I was eating scraps, I knew that I needed more than that if I was going to get some life in me. So just like Ruth, I went home just like that, trying to talk to the Lord, I guess you could say. And Naomi told her, he said, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go to that kinsman redeemer. The only thing that can happen for us. You ain't got a husband. You're going to have to go to our kinsman. You're going to have to have him graft you in and become a part of him and his family. Y'all know where I'm going with this. This ain't nothing complex. This is what the Lord showed me. But she tells Ruth, she said, tonight, they're going to be there on the threshing floor. They're going to separate it. Get the chaff out, get what they needed, the good, so they could sell it and survive off of it. And she said, when he goes and he eats and he drinks and goes to sleep, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go to him. Get down to his feet. I'm going to tell you where you're going to have to get to. Lowly, humble, and down at his feet. Listen to what it said. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he should have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, lay thee down. Now listen right here, this is important. Anytime these kids come up here, I don't ever pray, Lord, save them. Because he sure could do that. Why do I need to pray that? I pray, Lord, get them more lost than they've ever been before and give them the understanding and the peace in their heart. You know what happens when you get up here and you get down to business with God? He tells you what to do. Listen to what the Bible says. He says, uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. When you come humble and lowly, following the Spirit of the Lord, he'll tell you exactly what you got to do. It ain't no rhythm. It ain't no rhyme. It ain't no puzzle. It ain't no riddle. It ain't nothing hard to figure out. Brother said it. He said, we make these things. Man makes these things complex. God's made them simple. I'm going to tell you something, church. You know why these young kids can come up here? He's right. They ain't got nothing to repent about. What'd they do? Not pick their toys up when mama told them? They ain't got nothing to repent for. You ever seen them try to teach a baby how to swim? They can take a one-year-old, two-year-old, teach them all the things, and they can throw them in the pool, and they'll figure it out on how to swim. You know why? They don't have a fear of dying. You ever took somebody in their 20s or 30-year-old and dumped them off in the water and tried to watch them swim? They'll panic. They'll get scared. They'll kick. They'll flap and they'll flail. They got some things to be afraid of. That's why it's so much harder for a man. When the Bible said that it was harder for a rich man to go for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven, that didn't have anything to do with his money. That had to do with everything of that very first commandment. They put everything between them and God. It's a little easier to get there when you ain't got nothing built up. A little less to shed off, I guess you could say. But that scripture, she comes down and gets down below his feet. You know what happens? I love this. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to me. She gets underneath his skirt and he puts his skirt over the top of her. I'm going to tell you something. That when I hit those knees and I was a lot like, he don't even know it, but his testimony was a lot like mine. I too gathered around with two young preachers sitting by a campfire, and they kept talking and kept talking and kept talking and kept talking and kept talking, and I thought they was never going to quit, and I done realized I was lost halfway through the conversation and I needed to get some help. But I just listened to them keep talking and keep talking, and finally I just stopped listening and I just got down and started praying, and the Lord saved me. I appreciate the testimony because it was a lot like mine. I leaned over to Clint and said, that's how I got it. I kept listening and listening and listening and thought, boy, if y'all shut up, I could get down. But when I got down there on my knees, I'm going to be honest with you. I had a doubt when I first got down, and I remember thinking in my mind, boy, I look silly. I done gave it all down. I done laid down. You know what happened, though? I felt that skirt go over me. You know what that was? I was clothed in His righteousness. I'm thankful whenever He sent somebody back. He said, if I go away, what did He send back for us, Chris? A judge? An executioner? Huh? He sent back a comforter. You know, God always knows what we need. Thank God for that. Clothed in that righteousness. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you meet Him, you'll be a lot like this. He said, and now it is true that I am not near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Y'all can get a verse of a song. I ain't got nothing else. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm just thankful for what all the Lord's done for me. I don't know if y'all are, but I sure am. Because if you could have saw where He brought me from, you'd appreciate where I'm at now. And I ain't nothing. I'm telling you, I'm absolutely nothing. I'm the least. I'd have handed this microphone off to anybody sitting over here or over here. But I just want to tell y'all, God's been good to me. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah. Let them say so. We've cleaned the wells out. We got some new wells. Now it's time for us to go to work. I've said it many a times, and Nehemiah chapter number 4 is one of my almost absolute favorite chapters, and I'm going to hush. And I know the famous scripture in there, and every preacher's preached on it probably in here, of having a mind to work. But one of my favorite verses is somewhere around 15. I don't know if that's exactly where it is, but you can find it in chapter 4. It says that they had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. When the enemy came, they fought them off, and when they were gone, they got back to work. You know what would have happened? If they just sat down and took a break, the enemy could have crept in, or the work wouldn't have gotten done. Nowhere in that Bible does He say, sit down and take it easy. He said, run this race with patience. I'm not sprinting to the finish line. You better pace yourself. Follow the Lord at His speed. I don't know. That may be scattered. Y'all sing a song.